land and to live righteously. Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 145, where in the second and third block, we talk all about the movie Meet the Mormons, which will be coming out on the 10th of October. In the second block, we visit with the narrator, a previous guest here in the Cultural Hall. It's Jenna Kim Jones. That's JKJ for AFV, AVF, whatever it is. Jenna Kim Jones for America's Funniest Videos. We talked to her all about that and about making the Meet the Mormons film and how she got to be involved with that. And then in the third block of the Cultural Hall, we visit with Blair True, who I got to sit down with for... It's a hefty third block there. We talk about where he's been, what he's done before this, and why... Meet the Mormons became a feature film as opposed to just the legacy film. And the legacy film is in the theater that's right next to Temple Square in downtown Salt Lake. So look forward to that. We'll get in all the juicy details about Meet the Mormons, the movie, in the second and third block. But I wanted to share this. Got this email from Joel. You can contact Joel at joeljcampbell@gmail.com if you want to reach out to him. And he leaves his email and says contact, so I'm leaving that to you. This is a press release, and it's the first press release that we've received at the Cultural Hall, so sharing this with you. Here we go. This is my official press release voice. Post-Mormon Moment Conference to Examine LDS and Media Conference, October 17th at the BYU Salt Lake Center, will honor historian Jan Shipps. All right, so that's the headline. Did I read that official? I don't know. Maybe I didn't. All right, so here we go. Here's the press release. A look at how journalists covered Mormonism during the 1970 Equal Rights Amendment campaign, a discussion about how Mormons are responding to a call to share their faith through social media, and a tribute to historian Jan Shipps are scheduled for the Third Mormon Media Studies Conference, Friday, October 17th. While the Mormon moment may have passed in the national consciousness, there is much to be explored in the way that Mormons, journalists, and social media interact, said Joel Campbell, a BYU journalism professor and conference co-organizer. With the theme, Mormons and Meaning, How Media Shape Mormon Identities, the day-long conference is scheduled to feature 16 presentations by 21 scholars. The conference, which is planned from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., is scheduled at the BYU Salt Lake Center. That's 3 Triad Center. 345 West North Temple, Salt Lake City. The conference is designed for students, scholars, researchers, and interested observers. That's where you guys come in. Or if you're media or any of the other things, that's where you come in too. Of the relationship between media and Mormonism. Registration is $45 for professionals, academics, and scholars, and $15 for students. To register, you can get more details about the conference by going to mormonmedia.byu.edu. Lane Williams, a BYU-Idaho communication professor and co-organizer, said that recent announcements made by leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which amplifies the need to study Mormons, their uses of media, as well as how news media and popular culture portrays Mormons and the LDS Church. The recent call by LDS Apostle Elder David R. Bednar for church members to flood the world with social media messages, as well as continued news media interest in the growing numbers of LDS missionaries and LDS influence in such areas as business, scholars, and church members alike will have much to discuss at this conference, Williams said. The conference will kick off with a panel discussion honoring Jan Shipps, a prominent scholar of LDS history who pioneered the use of media depictions of Mormons in her historical research. Shipps is also a professor emerita of history and religious studies at Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. The conference will examine the following topics: When Broadway Meets Hollywood, Mormonism and Popular Culture, how media represented Mormonism in Mitt Romney's 2008 and 2012 campaigns, former LDS General Relief Society Barbara B. Smith's media presence during the ERA movement, how a major American Christian denominations present themselves to the world on the internet, KZN, which is now KSL, and the LDS Church's approach to radio during 1922 through 1927, the 19th century U.S. press coverage of the Mountain Meadows Massacre, how can Latter-day Saints respond to Elder Bednar's call to sweep the earth with a flood, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and Washington Post reporter Merlo J. Pusey, how LDS Apostle John Taylor's New York City Mormon newspaper and other New York newspapers depicted Mormons from 1850 to 1857. Hold on, I'm almost done. The 19th century version of the Book of Mormon musical, American humorist Artemus Ward on stage in New York and London in the 1860s, gather up and preserve a history, scrapbooks in the LDS Church Historian's Office, and then finally, a look at the broadcast program, Latter-day Profiles. Again, that's October 17th at the BYU Salt Lake Center, and you can find more information online either at mormonmedia.byu.edu or joeljkimball@gmail.com. There we go. I think I got it all. That's the whole press release. Thank you, Joel Campbell. Not Kimball. Campbell. All right, let's get into the second and third block. It's Meeting the Mormons. Here it comes.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, Richie. How you doing?
So good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sorry if you hear that siren that just drove by.
No, well, if you could do me a favor and not break the law right when we're about to talk on the phone.
Well, you called me right when I was in the middle of robbing a bank.
That's always when I'm calling. Hi, Jenna Kim Jones.
I know. Hi.
So let's talk about it. Are you going to be the next host of America's Funniest Videos? Is that happening yet?
We're still waiting. I'm in limbo with AFB right now. We're going to have a meeting soon and talk to them about what they might want me to do for them. They were really happy with the video. They thought it was really good. So we'll see what happens.
What are their concerns? Let's talk about that for a second. Let's help eliminate some concerns that AFB
too
might
great.
Have. Too great? Okay.
Yeah, like that I'll just like blow everyone's mind with the amazingness.
They're like, we're going to need to show videos in America's Funniest Videos, so we can't have Jenna Kim Jones because then we just want to have her. I get it.
You're distracting. Exactly.
Anything else? Any other concerns?
Nope. That's about it.
That's it. Yeah. Good. Well, cool. Yeah. Is there a chance that they may have you do something that isn't hosting? Like, will there be like a sidekicky thing worked out or something?
Well, they are doing an online version of the show that Shay Carl is hosting.
Okay.
So they may need some other talent for that. Or, I don't know, they're kind of revamping their whole brand, it seems like.
When you say Shay Carl, that's one of the Shaytards, correct?
Correct. The man himself.
Also a Mormon gentleman. That's
I
cool.
know. Yeah. Isn't that weird? Mormons are taking over.
It says in addition to we'll save the White House when the Constitution is literally hanging by a thread, that we'll also take over Hollywood. So watch out.
Boom! Can't wait.
Are you friends then with Mr. Shay Carl?
No, I've never met him. So okay. I'm hoping that we get to meet soon. That would be awesome.
I hope as part of that connection, you're like, hey, there's this thing called the Cultural Hall, and I'd really like you to be on it, because I was.
Yeah, you bet.
No?
You bet.
You're not going to work that for me. That's fine.
I'm excited. I'm excited to help you out there. Let me just get that meeting with him first, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. Listen, I want you to be able to meet him first, and do you have that connection with him? Of course.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, of course, I would help you out. Absolutely.
But then when you're doing, like, the Sunday pot roast potluck at the Ward House, you'd be like, hey, you know who you should talk to? Mr. Shay Carl.
The Cultural Hall.
You need to talk to the Cultural Hall. When last we visited with you, Jenna Kim Jones, it was forever ago. I mean, we're on episode, this silly little episode will be 145, and I think you're number 3.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a long time.
So you've gotten married.
Yeah, I'm married. I live in Los Angeles. I still do stand-up. I still do all that stuff. But yeah, it's like a whole new life. I'm in the sun all the time. I hate it.
You're in the sun and you hate it because you're paley. You're mm-hmm. anti-sun.
Yeah.
Anti-sun.
I'm the whitest person in the world. Yeah. It's really, I'm basically translucent. So But yeah, LA is actually really great. It's been treating me really well. I miss New York a lot, but I'm happy to be in LA.
What else you got going on? You said that's just some of it, and we've talked to you about a little bit of it. Been following you here in the Cultural Hall with your AFV, your JKJ for AFV. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
The campaign is still alive.
So what else then? How? Let me ask you this. Hang on, I'm going to ask a question. Biggest thing that you've found to be a surprise in the time that you've been married.
The biggest adjustment for me was having someone sleeping in the same bed as me.
Because you're a sprawler?
No, because I don't move at all in my sleep, and my husband, like, thrashes around, and it is horrible. So the first month of marriage, I was like, I'm so tired. I'm just so tired all the time because I wasn't sleeping well at all. And then I kind of got used to it, but it was still kind of tough. And then we got a sleep number with the memory foam.
Oh, yeah.
Mattress, and now I don't feel anything, and now I sleep fine. But that was, like, a huge adjustment that I didn't even cross my mind. There were a lot of weird little things like that.
Give me some other weird little stuff.
I'm left-handed, so I put things on the left side, and it drives my husband crazy because he's right-handed, and he's like, why is everything on the left? The soap's on the left, you put the toothpaste on the left. Like, everything's on the left in this house. Let's see what else is weird about being married.
So wait. So is the compromise that now everything is in the center?
No, it's just still on the left.
Oh. a true marital compromise. Perfect.
What compromise? Yeah. Let's see. Now he knows, like, everything you eat, you know? So, like, if you finish something and he wanted some, but you ate it before he got it, there's always that weirdness. Like, wait, you ate it all?
Yeah.
You know,
have you gotten to the point where you have occasionally you can have your food? It's not our food. It's
my food.
Yeah,
this
is
mine.
Yeah.
That's important. You know, you got to keep your individuality.
Sure.
A little bit.
You can't change.
Yeah.
Don't change who you are.
No.
Or your food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What else we got?
It's been fun.
What else? Nothing else?
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
What was your first fight?
Let's go there.
Wait.
I like marriage.
What's your first fight, though? You had to have had a first fight, and it had to be over something just stupid.
We really don't fight.
Oh, geez.
I know it's like one of those, oh, whatever. But we really get along just really well. I'm trying to think. I remember when our first week of marriage, we were building an IKEA bookshelf, and I did a step wrong, and then I kind of broke part of it, and I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is it, this is what's going to set him off, he's finally going to be mad at me, because up until then, you know, we've just had this great, but he handled it like a champ. He was so nice about it, and I just thought, oh gosh, because I was mad at myself for breaking it, mm-hmm. You know? Because it was totally an impulse of, like, I'm just impatient. I can do this. I can fix it, you know?
What do you go after him for?
I don't know. He's pretty easy to live with. Really, I'm kind of the drama. He's the steady Eddie. So, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, cool.
The poor guy, you know? I mean, it's like, sometimes I just get teary-eyed when I watch certain TV shows, and it doesn't matter. Oh, you know what? You know what I do get mad at him for? There is one thing that drives me nuts.
Tell me.
He is a channel surfer.
Oh.
So he can surf the channels for days and days and days, but does this trick on me all the time where to leave it on the channel just long enough that I feel like I'm in now. I'm emotionally invested. I'm about to see what happens. And then he'll change the channel right when I feel like we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. We were watching that, weren't we? I feel like we'd put in the time and we were going to watch that.
Yeah. Hmm. How can you do that to me? So that drives me crazy.
Well, but let me ask you this. If it were conversely, because this is what I do and it drives my wife crazy, I'll say that whatever is on the channel that I'm watching doesn't interest me. I'll switch to the next adjacent channel and whatever it is, I'll watch it because I want to know what it is. And then I feel like I've committed too much to it. And so then it's like, well, I can't not watch this. And so, you know, I'll go from something like a cooking program to, you know, your Storage Wars or something like that. And it's just like, well, I can't turn away from it. I got to find out find out what's behind that gate.
Absolutely. I get that. I do understand that. But I just feel like, I get led on a lot when we watch TV.
You guys have been married how long now?
2 years.
Has that really been that long?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
He's still working for hospitals or something boring, right?
He works in health insurance. He works for Kaiser Permanente here in California now.
Oh, boring. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I think it's probably a pretty great job. I mean, you get a Sleep Number bed, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Things couldn't be better.
Right. By the way, what's your sleep number? Let's talk about that for a second.
35.
Yes.
35.
What's his sleep number?
He's actually 35, too.
So it's the same. Good thing you guys bought a sleep number.
Well, here's the thing, though. I rotate. So 35 is my, like, pretty good. But then if I'm, like, extra tired, sometimes I'll make it softer because I just like to just feel like I'm in a cloud. Uh-huh. And then there are times when my back hurts or the softness starts to make my back feel, like, out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll put it up to, like, 45 or 50.
You stop it. Really? 50?
Like I said, I'm the drama. And Alan, he's steady Eddie. He never changes from 35. But I'm, like, 50 one night to 20 one night. I'm all over the place.
He comes in. What is this? What is I do? What did I do? Hey, your sleep number is 5, Jenna? 5? Are you kidding me?
You're literally sleeping on the floor. Get up.
Too funny. And then the inevitable question that comes about with Mormon folks and being married for a couple of years. When's that happening? Is that happening?
We're going to stay together. What's the inevitable question?
No, the question of children, Jenna Kim Jones.
Okay, you're right. I knew what you were asking. Soon, in the next couple of years.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah,
we're
going to
have a grundle?
Is that a species of baby
that I'm
unaware of?
Yeah, they come with a blanket, and then you peel back the... You peel back the, diaper, and then it has their name there, and you can register it online.
Oh, that's amazing. There you go.
No, that's not actually true. How many are you looking
horrible.
To have?
As many as I can handle. I don't really know. I've never been that girl who's like, I want 7 children, and they're all going to have the name that starts with an A. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. I want to have a few kids. I definitely want to have more than one because I feel like the only child thing is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like 2 to 4.
Sure.
I don't know.
What would that mean for you if this whole America's, you know, the AFV comes through? What about then? You toting them on stage and on set and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I guess. You just, you know, figure out when you can squeeze a kid in.
Yeah.
And make it work. Make it happen.
Or, you know, here's the deal. If this big Meet the Mormons film goes big, man, we get Meet the Mormons 2 and Meet the Mormons 3. And,
yeah.
And
oh, come on.
And all
a
that
pregnant
kind of
stuff. Jenna in Meet the Mormons 3. That
right?
sounds delightful.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. I love
just
every.
Swollen for days. Yeah, that'll be great.
Swollen for days. That'll actually be the byline. Meet the Mormons 3. Swollen for days. How did you get involved in that project?
You know, I think I did a Mormon.org video a long time ago, and I think actually I got recruited for Meet the Mormons before that video was ever released, but I think there may have been some internal like, hey, this girl's kind of interesting. Maybe you should talk to her. So the director contacted me, and he came out to New York and kind of just we met, we had dinner, and then I had a couple of comedy shows the night he was in the city, so he followed me around and went to all these clubs with me,
mm-hmm.
watched me perform, and he was really cool. The project at that point was like very vague. I didn't really know what it was. They had said, oh, it's just going to be a movie for the Legacy Center, so it's small, mm-hmm. and then I kind of didn't really hear much after that. They met me, I thought it went well, and then about a year later, they called me and said, we want you to host this movie. We think you're the right fit for it. So we shot a little bit of it, and then a long time went by. I went back to New York a couple of times. We shot more. I did all the voiceover work. And then at that point, I still wasn't sure, is this for the Legacy Theater? I'd heard rumors that it was really good, but I hadn't known. And then we got word that the movie just was testing, like, off the charts for church movies. They just said that non-Mormons, like, loved it. Everybody had a great time watching it. So they decided to make it a movie that they were going to release and put out there for the world to see. And, you know what? It's a really good movie. I'm really happy that I'm a part of it, because it's, like, really well shot. It's really interesting. It's unlike any of the Mormon movies that you think of.
Well, when I think of Mormon movies, I think of things like Together Forever and Man's Search for Happiness. So unfortunately, when I think of those kind of things, the bar isn't terribly high.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
This will blow the bar out of the water. It's one of these things. Because here's the thing. I understand that. And I went into the movie thinking, like, I don't know what this is going to be like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard the things about it. Blair True is, like, an awesome director. He's worked in the business a long time. You know, what's it going to be like? And it is truly a great film. And my husband, he's always very critical, and he's very, he didn't grow up in Utah, so he didn't have the, like, you know, all the Mormon friends in high school. Like, it was just a different. He grew up in Chicago, and there were, like, four Mormon kids in his high school. And so he just has a different perspective. You know, he's not used to being around Mormons all the time. Mm-hmm. And he went in the movie thinking, like, I don't know what I'm going to see. And he loved it. And I just feel like it's uplifting, it's funny, you cry a little bit, you laugh a lot, like it's everything. And I think that people will be really impressed with it.
So when you talk about yourself hosting the film, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Is it like, and now we're talking to, because as I understand it, it's the story of like six different Mormon
families.
Yeah, situations, yeah. Right? It's like a single mom, and it's the candy bomber, and it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's six different
really
situations.
Interesting families from all over the world. What my role in the movie is to basically introduce the family. So in the beginning of the film, you see me in Times Square, and basically we talk about how Mormons get made fun of all the time, you know, how we do have a sense of humor about ourselves, and we know we're, you know, you can make jokes about us. We get it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of introduce that, and then I do all the voiceover. So I kind of get to help tell the stories of these families, introduce them. And then at the end, I'm on camera again, sort of wrapping up the film. I'm telling you, you're going to like it, Richie. You're going to like it.
Let me ask you this. At the end of the film, do you say, and if at any time you felt something about this film, you'll find a
I do not.
Card.
It is not a proselyting movie. It is purely to show people some interesting stories about real-life Mormons.
So there's no...
Every day, all over the world.
There's no... And you'll find on the back of your ticket stub, and there will be missionaries at the door. You can leave them.
The missionaries will not be there. It is not, that's not the intent of the film. The film is basically, honestly, for me, you watch it and you go, wow, we really all have a lot more in common, Mormon or not Mormon, other Christian or Mormon. We all have a lot in common. And hopefully people who see it will feel like they understand Mormons a little better, will feel like maybe if they have a Mormon friend, they can ask them questions and not feel weird about it, or they'll just have a little bit more knowledge and won't make the mistake of like, oh, you have like 12 moms, right? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, so I think it's like it's all going to be positive.
How doctrine-y is it?
Not very.
Okay.
It talks about Jesus.
All right, that's the answer. It's not very doctrine-y. Perfect.
Well, it talks about, you know, there's one story about a man from Nepal. Mm-hmm. And
now, no spoilers here. No spoilers.
I know. But basically, he talks about how he balances being a Mormon with the cultural traditions that he has being from Kathmandu. It's interesting. So there's not a lot of heavy doctrine, but there is talk about how we do believe in Jesus Christ, it's crazy to me. There are a lot of people who don't think we're Christian.
Yeah, Google.
Yeah, I saw that. What is that all about?
Yeah, Google hates the Mormons.
that is just crazy to me. So we are Christian, and I think that's very clear in this movie, which I'm happy about. But as far as, like, it's not going deep into doctrine. This is just, it's fun and uplifting.
It's been pretty fascinating to me also to see, well, a couple things. One is, as it's rolled out and we've been sort of notified as to where it will be playing, it's only playing, though, in really Mormon-dominated places. Like, it's all, of course, all in Utah, but then you get your Idahos and your Montana, and I know Nevada and stuff like that. But then there are other places where it just isn't going. And to me, it almost seems like for a Meet the Mormons film, it would seem to be counterintuitive, where we would want to be in places like your New Hampshire and your Massachusetts, where there aren't a huge mass of people.
Well, it's playing in a few of the bigger markets, but honestly, I actually am not really involved in any of that.
Sure.
I don't really know what the strategy is for putting the film out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think eventually I'm sure that this will get put somewhere, you know, like maybe a Netflix or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it may be easier for people all over the nation to view it. But I also don't know, like, how do you get into movie theaters? I don't know how that whole process works anyway. So I'm not sure. I can't really
speak to
that one.
I know that with a lot of films, things like we talk about with like Saratov Approach and stuff like that, those films, what happens is it's all based on the opening weekend numbers, and mm-hmm. Then it can go to more and more screens, which I think is interesting too, which leads me to the second part of this whole thing, is it's interesting that the church, I even want to say, though I shouldn't go on record and say this, but I think that I heard in a sacrament meeting just this last Sunday a letter from the First Presidency saying, hey, we've got this film coming out, and what a great opportunity it would be for you to take less active people, non-member friends, neighbors, to go and see this film. So I think that it will be, if your devout folk do what the First Presidency asks you to do, I think it's going to be one of those surprising things where people go, wait, what? Meet the Mormons did that well this opening weekend?
Yeah, I hope it does. I hope it does really well. I hope that a lot of people go see it. It's really good. And I mean, yes, I'm biased and I want it to do well because it only helps me out.
Sure.
But I also just think it's a really good movie. I'm telling you, it's the full package. It's a real movie.
And there will never be Meet the Mormons 3 if there's not a Meet the Mormons 1 success story. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Swollen for days. What was it?
Yeah.
Swollen for days?
Swollen for days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meet the Mormons 3. Swollen for days.
Oh, horrible. Horrible,
yeah,
image.
I hope that's not the byline. It could be. It won't be. But
it won't
could
be.
But right. It could be, I suppose.
Sure.
Do you get to meet higher ups in the church because of doing the film?
I have. I got to meet with a whole bunch of the apostles and President Udorf last April when I saw the movie for the first time, and it was so fun and it was exciting and it was really fun to meet them in person. You know, I haven't really met that many general authorities, mm-hmm. and it was like this really cool feeling to like talk to Elder Holland and be like, wow, you're just like super normal and interesting and kind of fun to talk to, and you're just like a nice guy, and it was a lot of fun. And President Udorf was really complimentary of the film and of me, and said that when the First Presidency saw the movie for the first time, that they all felt right away that I was the perfect choice for the movie. So that was really flattering, a huge compliment. Mm-hmm. I felt like, but yeah, I think the most fun about meeting them was just seeing like, wow, you guys really are just like normal guys doing your best, being pretty cool. So that was exciting. And I don't know, maybe we'll meet some more. We're going to the premiere in a couple weeks in Salt Lake. So
President Uchtdorf is good looking in person?
Oh, yeah. And his wife is like a ball of fun. She's like a party all the time.
Make sure when you see them in a couple weeks, same kind of deal as Shay Carl. Hey, you know what?
Cultural Hall.
The Cultural Hall would really love the opportunity to be able to speak to you.
Sure.
You know, they can come to you. You know, you don't have to come to them. They can do it over the phone if that works for you. We could go right on a plane. I know he likes planes. We could do that.
Yes.
Whatever makes him more comfortable to be able to get something like that done. I'm pretty excited. Actually, coming up here in the third block of the Cultural Hall, we're going to be talking with Blair, the director of the film, and get to know more about some of the behind the scenes and the process of getting it out there. So, I appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Sure. Blair's awesome. He's the best. And tell him I said hi.
I will, for sure. It's Jenna Kim Jones. It's JKJAFV, America's Funniest...
JKJ4AFV.
Yeah. I knew I was missing something, and I couldn't figure out where it was. And you can find people can find you online at JennaKimJones.com, right?
Yep, and Twitter at Jenna Kim Jones.
Ah, perfect.
Thank you.
It's good to catch back up. I'm looking forward to Meet the Mormons 1. I'm not sure what Meet the Mormons 2 will be about. I'm maybe searching for Curly's gold, and then 3 will be the swollen. Worse than bloated. Swollen for days. Best of luck to you and to your husband, and we'll check back in with you in the future.
Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing: the PC Laptops Desktop Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
Hey, it's time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, and visiting with Blair True, who is the director of Meet the Mormons. We just so you know, Blair, everyone just listened to us visiting with Jenna Kim Jones, the narrator for Meet the Mormons.
She's awesome.
One of the first guests here in the Cultural Hall, actually. We have this is episode 145, and she was number 3. She's an early adopter of the Cultural Hall.
That's amazing. So you discovered her long before we did.
Yeah. Cool. In fact, it was while we were talking or something like that that she was invited to do the I'm a Mormon, and then you guys got familiar with her.
All right.
And even to go a little bit deeper, I don't know if you remember this or even know this, Blair, but at one point the church had contacted me personally about doing an I'm a Mormon ad, but at the time I was an excommunicated member of the church, and so they couldn't do an I'm a Mormon about an excommunicated member of the church.
So what's stopping us now?
You tell me, Blair.
I don't know.
We're looking forward to Meet the Mormons 2, The Search for Curly's Gold, and then
Curly's Gold.
And then Meet the Mormons 3, as Jenna called it, Swollen for Days, is what she'd like the subject
like
line
Jenna
to be there.
She's awesome. I just love her. She's great.
That's where you guys first met, right?
Well, actually, I had heard, you know, I wasn't directly involved with that other campaign so much. I mean, I was aware and know a lot of the guys that are working on that. But so I kind of heard, you know, we keep our ear to the ground a little bit, ears to the ground, and had heard that she'd been involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't put my finger on what we heard about her specifically, other than just we hear a lot of things from a lot of different sources. And so, you know, she was doing some stand up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there, and I thought, well, let's go see one of her shows. Fun little intimate, you know, atmosphere, kind of like what she does when she comes out here to do her shows. And it was just a blast. And I got to talk to her after the show, and she just has a real approachable, fun, friendly kind of demeanor about her, and it just felt from the get-go that she'd be perfect for this film.
And we could spend this entire time talking about her, which I'm sure she would appreciate, but we should maybe talk about the film Meet the Mormons. I had the opportunity to watch it last night, but give me the genesis of this, because it seems like I'm hearing things that it's been like 10 years in the making.
Well, not quite. I mean, I guess if you could look at it that way, I guess if you want to look at it, if I go back to my childhood, it's been, you know, 40 years.
I've always had this idea.
Yes. But basically, I guess specifically where this thing got started was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
I guess you could say it's been 4 years in the making, really 3 years in earnest in terms of, you know, finding the families and going out and photographing them through all over the world. Because this is a story of six families all over the world. I guess we'll probably get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But it started as an effort to find a replacement film for the film that's currently running in the Legacy Theater.
Mm-hmm. Which is, the Joseph Smith film,
yes,
right?
Yes, It's been in there for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was part of a small group of guys, and we were asked, hey, what can we, you know, what do we think we ought to, you know, find to replace that film?
Now, and when you say you were asked, are we talking like general authorities are coming to you guys? Or
well,
is
they,
a film,
you know, they have a,
or?
They've got, you know, if you understand a little bit about Temple Square, they've got this Legacy Theater. And so I don't know how many million people, I've heard 2 million plus. I don't know the specific numbers, but a lot of people come to Temple Square every year. And part of that experience, at least the potential, is for people to stop in Legacy Theater and watch the movie. And so this was designed, this whole piece initially was designed as kind of an introduction. Well, who are we?
Yeah.
And so I just felt, I mean, right when I was asked, they said, who wants to take this on? And my hand shot up so fast. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm not used to being picked first.
Uh-huh.
So this was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'm the guy usually standing there at the end of the line, and nobody wants to play with me. And you know,
who's the scrawny guy?
Yeah, well, okay, well, we'll take him. You're the odd guy. So please pick me. And so, you know, I'd done a little bit of this stuff before, and so they said, "Well, what do you got?" And right then and there, it was, "Let's do a documentary. Let's do something that's authentic that really shows who we are."
Yeah.
And it's about time we tell our own story. And there's been so many stories that have been told about us that are kind of on the fringes and are kind of celebrate the weird and the bizarre and all that kind of stuff, which you're going to get in any group, particular group of people. Let's do one that's more about the rank and file of anxiously engaged, you know, active Latter-day Saints, and let them tell their own stories in their own words, really.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this sounds cool. What does that look like?
Yeah.
I said, well, I kind of talked them through it. And they said, well, why don't you shoot a little trailer? Give us a sense of what it is. So I literally grabbed a camera, went and spent about one day with a family from the Wasatch Front, another day with a family in Europe, another day with a family in Asia, because we wanted this to be authentic in terms of its representation of the global worldwide family that we call the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. And so it needed to have that feel to it. I felt, you know, if we had everybody in this film that looked like me, heaven help us, you know, because this is not
really,
about,
man.
You know, I mean, we sometimes, and that's an interesting side note. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I think this film is going to do a lot to help those who live right here on the Wasatch Front maybe take a little bit different view.
Absolutely.
I'm looking over at you. You've got a beard. Oh, my gosh, you have a beard.
Yeah.
The reality is we love people with or without beards. Right. But
they can't go to BYU, but we still.
Yeah, I know. What's with that?
Yeah.
I mean, so can you have a mustache? I don't know.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Yeah.
But no beard.
No beard.
But wait, Carl G. Mazur had a beard. Okay, I won't go
sidetrack.
All right. Anyway, so. I went to BYU. Did you go to BYU?
I did not.
Okay.
I was not smart enough.
Well, I went, but I got...
That was back in the day.
I lucked in. So I got in when they had the bar set much lower. But anyway, so that was the genesis of the project. And I made this little trailer, turned it in. It was just me, basically. And they said, go. And what really surprised me, honestly, was that they only gave me one directive. And they said, look, we trust you to just be authentic and real. That's what we want you to be, authentic and real. And if you're just true to who these people really are, go do it. And they never once, not once in this whole project, did they say, this is who you should shoot. This is what you should shoot. This is where you should shoot. They didn't even know if this should be one story or multiple stories. I just kind of felt like it should be multiple stories to give that broad representation. And so they gave us, honestly, quite a bit of latitude. I mean, a ton of latitude. It wasn't until we came back with footage and cut stories that we started to have discussions about, well, what should be cut out because it was so long. And so that was the directive. Be authentic, be real.
How did you pick the families? Like, I know probably someone you know knows the folks that are from here in Utah. But, I mean, you visit to Atlanta, Georgia, and you know, Costa Rica.
It was crazy. I wish I could say that it was well organized, that it was well laid out. We certainly wanted it to be that way.
Uh-huh. But it comes across that way.
Well, in the end, I guess, you know, it really was kind of matter unorganized initially, okay? Mm-hmm. But the reality was is that once we were greenlit to go, the first decision I had to make was, okay, we got to get a good team together. So we brought in Jeff Roberts.
Cool.
Who's the producer of the film. And he's just an awesome guy. And I've worked with Jeff before. And I thought, you know, I need help. I need somebody to kind of bounce ideas off. And so Jeff and I started down this path. We thought, okay, 15 million members. Who are we going to pick?
Right.
There's not going to be a shortage of opportunities.
Or a shortage of stories. I mean, these are six individual stories, but there are... Yeah. You know, thousands of other different kinds of stories that could have very easily been in this film.
And they could have, and we would have had the same result. I'm absolutely convinced. As great as these families are, we could have done your story.
Right.
And you know, everybody's got a story. And but to make a long story short, I guess, or a long short story endless, your question really is in two parts. It's first, we had to determine what we were looking for before we could start looking for whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it was. Anyway, so we had kind of a criteria for selections. And I was thinking, I was going to do a project about NFL football fans a while back.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, if we're going to do a story about football fans, we got to do real fans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, real fans come in all sizes and shapes. I mean, they go from cheeseheads down on the sidelines with their faces painted red and green or yellow, whatever, to the guys that sit up in the corporate boxes, right? They're
right.
All fans. But they're all different, but they have that one common bond. And so the one common theme here was in the first selection, I guess the criteria for selection was these had to be anxiously engaged, active members of the church.
Okay.
So the living the gospel of Jesus Christ had to be an active element in their lives. And so that was one. And these are really not in any particular order, but there are really three or four main things. Two, they had to be open and willing to share, you know, open their lives with us. So, you know, obviously I'm going to be looking for somebody, again, I don't mean to make it personal, but I'm looking for somebody like you that's kind of a character, kind of fun and open and willing to, you know, share. So if they're shy, that's pretty tough nut to crack. Three, we did want that ethnic diversity because that's honestly who we are.
Yeah.
We aren't just all white Caucasian living on the Wasatch Front. Sure, we have one family that represents us here on the Wasatch Front, but the idea is that we wanted to represent... And still, I feel we came up short. I mean, we didn't really... We tried to get a family from Asia in the story, but the reality was the tsunami hit, and we just felt like that was a bad time to be over there, right in the middle of production. So we felt like diversity was really important. What else?
That was
and of course, and I guess the other element is that there has to be something about their story that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to ask people... My first primary objective... as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, is to acknowledge the idea that, okay, I'm going to ask you to sit in a theater for 80 minutes, 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I darn better well entertain you. If I don't entertain you, if you don't feel something, then I'm wasting your time.
Right.
Regardless of what that thought or message may be, first and foremost, we have to entertain. And so that was the first goal. So there had to be, you know, there's some elements to all these stories that are visually kind of stunning and kind of fun, but... once you use those, that kind of atmosphere to kind of drive the story forward, you drill down deeper into the story to really find out who these people are.
What pushed this film from being a legacy theater film to being a big release? Because it seems like it was like nothing, every single billboard, and now hearing it from the pulpit. You know, take your friends to go and see
this.
Well,
it was amazing. And I would love to take credit and say, I knew it was going to be big all along, but the reality is this was a wonderful surprise for me personally and for Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Our objective didn't change in terms of the way we made the film.
Sure.
It was just supposed to reach out to people of all faiths, to be bridge building, to be, you know, in a fun, entertaining, sometimes self-deprecating way. But the way that happened was, you know, as you do with any film, you kind of screen it for audiences and you just see how it plays.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing these sneak previews all across the country. And we were, I think even Jeff and I were pleasantly surprised, even shocked a little bit about how well it played.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Catholic friends down in California. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
And I've got some Baha'i friends in Detroit, and I have and I played it for them. And I said, guys, be brutally honest here. Please tell me what you really think. And then, you know, we had a lot of other people that saw it as well that are not of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And a shocking high number of those who saw it who are not of our faith said they would recommend it to their friends.
Cool.
And so, and for me, I didn't have to ask them many questions. All I do is I watch them watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in all these screenings, I never once watched the movie. I always watched people watching the movie. And that tells me everything I need to know. Are their heads up? Are they engaged? Are they laughing?
Are they looking at phones?
Are they emotionally attached? Yeah, they're looking at phones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what told me, I think, and Jeff, what we needed to know about how people were responding to it. And so based on that, we showed it to the senior, you know, brethren at a church, and they said, you know, this Legacy Theater, 500 seats at a whack, you know, are we really going to limit it to that? Shouldn't we have it out a little more broadly? Because it is a great bridge to understanding. And it does show people who we really are in a fun, entertaining way. Maybe we should put it out there. And there was a lot of discussion. I mean, at first it was like, seriously? We're going to go out with this theatrically? A documentary?
Yeah, wait a minute.
I mean, because documentaries, let's be honest, they don't typically do that well in the box office compared to, you know, Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Because I've been there on that side. You know, I've worked on the narrative side for years. And I know what that's like. It's a very competitive world. But yet, we had an outside research group do some studies for us. And they said, you guys should be taking this out.
Hmm.
And so that's why we're here. That's how we got here.
When you sat down with the brethren, who was it? And how intimidating was that?
You know, I have deep respect for these men. I really do. And so there's a certain amount of self, you know, you self-imposed intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
But what I discovered is that these men are as warm and as friendly and as personable when you get them on that level, you know, mm-hmm. when you get a chance to be with them one-on-one as anybody else. And so that was, and it didn't really come as a shock. I guess I always believed that that was the case. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly worked on other projects where I've had those associations, but these senior brethren, and these are, in this case, this film did have to be approved through all the, you know, members
absolutely.
Of the 12 and all the way to the First Presidency. And so, yeah, you sit there and you wonder, okay, how's this going? But here's what really was a pleasant surprise for me. The music in the film and some of the aspects of the film are kind of self-deprecating, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hip. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how's this going to play?
Yeah.
Because again, our objective is to play not necessarily to them, okay? Because they're not our key audience,
yeah.
at least that age demographic. Our key audience is more like your listeners here.
18-44.
Yeah. And so how's this going to play for them? Are they going to be able to kind of see through their own cultural filters, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to recognize that? And I was thrilled to discover that they were. Jeff and I worked primarily with Elder Bednar and Elder Holland, and they were just like so cool. They were so awesome. They were so open and so willing to recognize that, yeah, maybe the music in this spot may not be my personal choice, but we're speaking a language, you know, when you go into a foreign country and try to communicate with somebody, you've got to speak their language.
Yeah.
And they know that. And so they were very open and very warm and friendly. And it was just a great experience all the way through.
I think it would be an interesting idea as I'm sitting and listening to you talk about it. I think it would be fascinating, and I don't know why something like this has never been done, but a similar thing with some of the apostles or with the prophet, a film where we not only get President Monson, where it's like, it's President Monson and he, you know, he delivered these great talks
right.
and a lifelong of service. And no doubt they do films like that after these people pass away. But I'd like to hear his grandson say, man, you wouldn't believe the jokes that, you know, my uncle or my grandpa Tom tells me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A very personal
kind
side.
Of see them in their Levi's with the suit and tie off.
Yeah,
you know,
go on fishing.
I've often kind of thought the same thing. I really have. And, you know, and maybe that'll come. I think, but you know what I think is that this is my own personal opinion. So this is now just me speaking mm-hmm. here. I think these men, these great men, these brethren are much more open than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes as a membership, we get a little uptight and we sometimes say we'd like to see them in that environment, but mm-hmm. we almost don't want to let them out of the suit and tie.
Right.
You know?
Because, he likes to do this
like,
activity.
Wait a minute. Is that really appropriate? And so sometimes, and again, this is just my personal opinion, sometimes we get so uptight that we are self-limiting. Mm-hmm. And I find that's what's so great about the movie in terms of looking at who we are through the eyes of the people who are in the film. Mm-hmm. You have members in Nepal. We have members in Annapolis, Maryland, and all over the world. They look at life just a little differently than we do here on the Wasatch Front. Mm-hmm. And the thing that excites me about this film is the reason you just brought this up is that I think it hopefully opens up new doors and new opportunities to do just that, those types of things, where we can explore things where maybe we haven't explored before.
Because I do this with any filmmaker that we visit with, I have another idea, which I think that you should consider.
Oh, here comes the pitch.
I'm throwing ideas. It's pitch. It's right. Fine. I've got you here. You can't go anywhere.
Okay. Throw the
but,
pitch.
A film about an MTC district revisiting the missionaries years later. So it's 14 random people from all over the world who served together for 4 weeks in the MTC. And, you know, some of them went to the same mission and some went to other missions.
Oh, and then they come back together at the MTC?
And then maybe they come back together at the MTC. But I think just they were in the MTC together. Let's see where they are 20 years after the fact.
No, those kinds of things are always interesting to me.
You know, he's not a member of the church anymore.
Right, right.
That guy is a concert pianist. This guy. And it is one of those things that, given the right real story, I think could be really fascinating.
Well, we're all on different paths at different times. Mm-hmm. And I think projects like that tend to open up your understanding that, look, just because somebody's on a slightly different path than me, and maybe they may be further down the path. Do I say further or farther? You're the talk show guy.
I'm not the guy.
Well, you know, I didn't go to Challenger School, so I don't know if it's further or farther. But
more along.
They're down the path a little.
Ways.
Yeah, see, there I am again.
No,
so anyway.
A little ways further. Ah!
But the idea is that we're all on this path together. And I think projects that help open up that understanding, that's a good thing. You know, I saw a bumper sticker that says, don't, what was it? Don't judge me because I sin differently than you.
Absolutely.
you know?
Because everybody does.
We do. And believe me, I've got my
yours,
struggles.
Those are bigger. Those are.
That's right. No, yours are. Yeah, we focus on the wrong thing. I mean, we really need to focus on, again, this is just the gospel according to Blair, but we need to focus on the key things of just being Christian.
Yeah.
You know,
way more than we focus on all the little eccentric.
Yeah. Or whether we drink, you know, the temperature of our caffeine or whatever
right.
that may
right.
be, you know, and I think in our hearts, we know that we just tend to get hung up on those little nitpicky things. And I think that's unfortunate.
I want to know a little bit about you. So you're from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Went to BYU. Did you serve a mission?
I did.
Where'd you serve?
Detroit.
Detroit, see?
Michigan. Yeah. Half my areas now are just like non-existent.
Well, you can buy it now actually for $2.
Exactly.
You can buy.
But would you want to live in it? That's a different story.
Well, one day. One day you will.
Absolutely. If you can ride out.
If you can hold out that long.
Yeah.
I served in Cleveland, so I was just your neighbor down to the south.
Stateside. Awesome. Yeah. Way to go.
And it's cool because you can go back and afford it.
Yeah.
People go, I wanted to go foreign. It's like, well, you'll go there one time and you'll never go back again.
Well, Cleveland's foreign mission.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Let's ask you this. What about family? Married?
Married. Four kids.
Okay.
They're all married but one.
Nice.
I have a
What's
daughter.
Wrong with the one? Do we need to talk about
Well, it's just not the right time for her because she's doing this little thing. You know, she's being a missionary.
Oh.
Out of North Carolina.
So you're not positive she's not married. She could just
be. Yeah, I don't think she is. I haven't. I mean, her mission president hasn't told me that she is. So I think she's kind of connected at the hip with this companion of hers right now. So that tends to be a stumbling block.
Different kind of companion, but certainly it would be good for you. So they're all married and then one serving a mission.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned kind of that you've done other projects. Are there other things that people would go, oh, sure, Blair that did.
Oh, I don't know. Not unless you grew up with the Disney Channel.
Okay.
You know,
throw them out there.
Oh, no. You know, I get asked this a lot. And
right.
and then I'm embarrassed because they say I never heard of it. No, never heard of that. No,
listen,
never saw that. Never saw that.
Try me. Ready?
No,
get ready. No,
you
try
haven't
me,
seen
ready.
These. I guarantee you haven't seen
no,
these.
Come on,
you're
try
too
me,
old.
Try me because I've got this.
Well, let me ask you. Did you watch the Disney Channel as a kid?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever see The Paper Brigade?
Of course.
Okay. Well, that was one of mine. You're not lying. You're telling me the truth.
No.
It had a great cast. It had Robert Englund, you know,
yeah,
Freddy Krueger.
Robert Englund?
You are such a... I can't believe I agreed to come on this show. No, there have been a whole bunch of Disney movies that were, you know, back in the day, back in the early 90s.
Oh, cool.
Katherine Heigl, I did a movie with her called Wish Upon a Star.
Nice. Oh, and I know Wish Upon a Star. A very good friend of mine was in it, Mary Parker Williams.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was it was one of my movies. So that was fun. And there was, you know, a handful of others that were kind of like that, Nickelodeon projects. And I did a little thing with Columbia TriStar called Little Secrets with kind of a fun little cast. And so it's been, these have been mostly smaller movies and episodic television as well. So it's been a hodgepodge. So for me, I get bored really easily.
Yeah.
So I kind of...
I can tell you're looking at the door going, can we be done?
No, not at all.
Teasing.
No, I genre hop.
Hmm.
So I like documentary. I like narrative. And I like commercial. And so even I've done a few promotional things for various corporate things. So in the years past. So it's just been a hodgepodge and it's been a lot of fun.
One last pitch on the church thing.
Okay.
Excommunicated people who have come back to the church, I think would be fascinating too.
Yeah.
Especially in light of recent events where excommunication within the church has been such a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, I don't know, you know, what road you necessarily go down because there's so many reasons that people could be excommunicated for, but it would.
Well, I personally love redemptive stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to spoil it here, but the last story in this film is an incredibly redemptive story. You know, you've seen it, so I'm not going to, you know, what are you going to say in front of me? You're going to tell me you loved it, right? But,
sure.
But I hope that it did touch you in a way that, whether or not you've been down that path yourself. Oh my gosh.
That's your phone.
How
embarrassing.
Can you believe that?
How embarrassing.
I left my phone on coming into the studio. I'm really, you can imagine my embarrassment.
No, you're fine.
Anyway. So I love redemptive stories. I think we all do. We love comeback stories. We love stories where, okay, we've made some mistakes, but we can come back. And I think there's, that is at the heart of the very last story in our film. And I think that's one of the reasons why, and what's interesting in many ways, it's probably one of the most hard hitting stories in terms of just being right on target with respect to what it's like to send a missionary out in the mission field. But yet those who are not of our faith almost collectively agree that that's their favorite story. You saw it last night, right?
Yeah.
For the first time. I'm curious, what was your favorite story?
Because
there are six of them.
Yeah, you know, for me, I don't know that I have a favorite story. I think the one that I just sort of enjoyed seeing, not only for scenery, but also because I liked the kind of role change, is the Costa Rican couple where she's a kickboxer, MMA fighter.
Yeah.
I'd had the opportunity to go to Costa Rica, and so I'm looking at it going, oh, yeah, I remember, and how beautiful, and so all the memories associated with that.
Yeah.
But then also just to see this gorgeous woman who just is kicking people's butts.
I mean, she's as matronly and as sweet and as beautiful as any, you know, in that situation would be. And yet all of a sudden we find out something that we didn't know about her. And she's doing what you just described.
Yeah.
In fact, the reality was we had to tone that down just a little bit.
And I was hoping for a little bit more in it. I was like, come on, let's see a mouthpiece getting kicked out of a face a cut on the upper eye or something.
Well, you know,
like
it's
that.
Interesting. We've been, people are saying, wait, this movie's rated PG?
And it's because of that, right?
No, not necessarily. No. It's because of thematic elements, which means in the last story, again, I don't want to spoil it, but what this mother goes through,
I guess
this evolution she goes through, you know, she goes through a really hard time. And so for young children, it's a pretty serious content. I can tell you, having lived in this world for a long time, having lived in this world of making a movie and having it rated, PG is appropriate. There's nothing in this movie that is going to offend even small children, but they have
Mormons would have it. And then it's again one of those things like you're talking about where people get really bent out of shape going, well, why isn't it G?
Well, and actually, industry insiders would tell you that having a G rating is the kiss of death, because what that means is this is an animated film. It's just Barney and friends, and that's it. You know, can I say that?
Yeah.
Anyway, and so it's, and that's not what this is. So, yeah, when we got notice back from the MPAA that they had rated the film and it was PG, some in our group were a little surprised, like, what's offensive? What could be? And this, it's called thematic elements.
Okay.
The same thing happened with Little Secrets, a film I did with Evan Rachel Wood. There's a scene where she falls off the roof and almost breaks her neck. And because she falls off the roof, and it all turns out fine, but because of that one scene, they rated it, instead of G, they rated it PG.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just...
Spoiler alert, by the way, about Little Secrets, that she ends up being okay after falling off the roof. You didn't mention that.
Well, so. That's been a few years back, so I think we're okay.
Got three questions that I'm going to ask, and then I'll kick you out of here, because you got to go to New York City.
Yeah.
Number one, do you have a calling in your ward right now? And if so, what is it?
I am the gospel doctrine teacher.
Nice. So we're both making our way through Old Testament right now.
Yep. Struggling through it. I'm not
hard.
Very good. Are you a gospel doctrine teacher?
I am, and I teach the Old Testament.
Can I come sit in
obviously.
On your class and
you're welcome
learn some
to.
Things?
Okay. I don't know that you'll learn some things, but you're welcome to sit in.
All right, okay.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
Gosh, I've had so many great ones. And I honestly, I mean, this is going to sound cliche. I've honestly liked them all. I really have. I like the calling that a lot of people don't like. And I was the activities chairman in our ward. And I love that. It was fun. It was a blast. So I really like putting stuff together and bringing people together and having fun. So if I were to pick among the existing, that would be it. If I were to pick a calling, that's weird. I've never been asked that question.
Yeah.
If I could make up a calling. I don't know that I have an answer to that. You completely stumped me.
Well, you can get back to me on it.
Okay. All right. How would you have answered that?
What would be the calling that I would pick? I would have this be my job.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, then, then you've just given me a hint. Actually, to make stories like this is a great thrill because I'm as excited about the release of this film than any I've ever made. And I don't participate in any of the profit sharing in this. You know, all the profits go to the Red Cross.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, people should know that when they lay their money
down.
It's
not the church going.
That's right. The church is not in the movie making business. This is about benefiting the Red Cross. And it's all net proceeds go to the Red Cross. And so that means that as soon as the theater's paid, you know, they've got to make a living.
Sure.
Right? The church isn't even going to recoup its production costs.
Okay.
All of it goes to Red Cross. So I'm sorry, we got off on a tangent
there.
No, but
that's good to know. I'm glad you did that tangent.
So if I could be the ward filmmaker, that would be pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's what I'm going to pick.
And then get ready. This is the final question. Okay. What is your favorite part of your faith?
I think the favorite, well, it's clear to me, it's fairness. Now, what does that mean? A lot of people say fairness. What are you talking about?
Right.
When you really drill down to what our faith is, and what if you really get into the heart of what we believe, it's incredibly fair. Because what we're saying to the world is, we do these special things in temples, right? And they're vicariously, they're for other people. And what we're saying to the world is, you know, we've got your back, and we want to include you. We don't want to exclude you. And just in the off chance that you're going to change your mind down the road, we're going to make that possible. Because one of the tenets of our belief is that what you do here on earth impacts what happens down the road in the next life. And so it's an incredibly fair belief system and an inclusive one. And so, and that may not make any sense without really getting into the context of it, but
it makes sense.
I think that's what I like about my faith is that, instead of saying, well, if you're not a baptized member of my faith, then you're going to that other place with brimstone. That's not what we believe at all. So I just think it's one of inclusion, not one of exclusion.
Blair, thank you for joining us here in the Cultural Hall. We hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row.